fasting in the holy month of Ramadan is its spiritual rejuvenation. Fasting is prevention, and prevention is separation and detachment. And detachment is the heart and the reality of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi sallallahu alayhi.
This type of fasting that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh is talking about is the fact fasting of tariqah or ethical fasting. This fasting is for those noble people who not only fast from what is jurisprudentially dedicated, but also observe an ethical fasting too. Such noble fasters let their eyes, ears, and all other body parts fast against whatever which is regarded in religion as haram. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "When you fast, let your ears, your eyes, your hair, your skin, and all of your body parts fast too. Do not let your fasting days be the same as those of non-fasting days." So, you should know that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, as a great mystic of his time, was very sensitive to the spiritual effects of good and bad conducts, and that is why he is warning people about committing sins in the month of Ramadan, and in fact, he is encouraging us to leave those habits. He looked at this month as a great opportunity to practice spiritual elevation and make use of such progress through the whole days of the year.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. According to the Holy Quran, the aim of creation of human being is to worship God. The Almighty says in Ayah 56 of Surah Az-Zariyat in the Holy Quran, "I did not create the jinn and the humans except that they may worship me." Moreover, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "Prayer is the essence of worship." The statement of the Holy Prophet has its roots in the teachings of the Holy Quran. The Almighty also says in Ayah 60 of Surah Ghafir, "Call me, I will hear you." Then he considers prayer as worship and continues, "Indeed, those who are disdainful of my worship will enter the hell in utter humility." Perhaps this is the reason why some scholars maintain that prayer and supplication is the best worship. The modern world is the world of speed, and it seems that time has been shortened incredibly. Once we review our past life, we realize how much of the life we have wasted and what forces we have spent in vain. The routine life has occupied all our time, and this monotony has dragged people towards depression and despair. Prayer and supplication opens up a new horizon in front of us to ponder on our fate and come out of negligence. The blessed month of Ramadan is the best period to compensate the moments and hours of negligence. As the Holy Prophet said, even our breaths have the reward of glorification of God. That is why the faithful reach a kind of calm and tranquility after 1 month of fasting and worship. God's very great favour is that He allows us to speak with Him regardless of our sins. The Almighty has bestowed so many bounties on us that if all the jinn and humans unanimously want to count the bounties given to only one person, they will fail. If you remember, we started explaining Dua Iftitah, or supplication of opening, which is emphasized to be read in the nights of the blessed month of Ramadan. In the second part of this supplication, we tell God, O Allah, You allowed me to call You and appeal to ask You. Indeed, it is a very great bounty to utter Allah's name and to speak to Him like two close friends. Then we continue, So hear my praise, O hearer, and answer my call, O merciful, and overlook my slip towards sin, O forgiver. As it was said earlier, speaking with the Almighty has manners like any other action. One of the manners here is to mention some of the bounties before praying and calling God. Among the great bounties which are often unheeded is the bounty of repelling and removing of mishaps. The Almighty either repels many calamities before occurrence or removes them after occurrence. Thus, in continuation, we say, O my God, how many sorrows that indeed You have erased, and worries You have removed, and slips that You have overlooked, and mercy that You have spread, and a circle of calamity that You have opened. If man only thinks over what happens around him, he will understand that the Almighty removed so many mishaps through His mercy and favour. Just suppose that you need money to cure a patient who will die if not treated immediately. Or you have not access to a specialist to cure the patient. In both of these cases, you may feel that all ways have been closed to you and you are on the verge of disappointment. Therefore, you realize that the only source that can solve your problem is God the Almighty, who owns all powers. In view of this, we have better reflect on the incidents that have happened to others but have not happened to us. If we leave home in the morning and come back in full health, it is quite because of God's will. As the Almighty has given us the eyes, He has repelled thousands of hazards from it so that we do not become blind. If the Almighty has granted us this body, He has prevented myriads of mishaps to keep our body healthy. Yet God's spiritual bounties are far more valuable. The intellect and faith are two bounties which cannot be thanked as they deserve. Many people move in the right path, but they are deviated and fall into the traps of the devil midway. So we should always plead God to keep us safe and on the right path.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio programme.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, refraining from argument in the month of Ramadan. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Hello, dear brothers and listeners. Salamun alaikum. I'm Farhad, your host. These days are great days, and I wish we can make an excellent use of them. So, today, we are going to talk about another moral conditions for acceptance of our fasting, our worship in this great month by Allah, inshallah. So, let's go to our topic. We promised to talk about one moral action in every session. So, in accordance to our topic, today we will learn another moral condition of acceptance of our good deeds in the feast of Allah, in this great, let's say, festival. One of those moral conditions that we have been given an admonishment, a very serious admonishment to commit, is that we must keep away from involving in it, is something that we know as jadal in Arabic terminology, or controversy, or argument, in order to prove our position and defeat the opponent, not proving the truth. So the argument which we are received an admonishment to commit it is an argument that we are going to prove our position and defeat the opponent, not just proving the truth and showing the truth. In this case, it has ruining effect on our soul and destroys the faith in our hearts. And sometimes, in my point of view, the side effects become more serious. One of these traits that can surface on our hearts is arrogance. And this trait is the very same one that led to Satan being cast out of heaven. So it's important to know the limit of controversy and argument, and control ourselves and try and practice to refrain from it.
Ramadan al-mustabin jaa bin nur al-mubin. Ramadan, Ramadan, Ramadan al-qanitin.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z on Islamic Lifestyle. I'm Farhad, and you're listening to the moral conditions of fasting. Okay, we talked about controversy and argument, and we said the controversy and argument is forbidden if it is for proving our position and overcome the opponent, not just for proving the truth. And we also understood that controversy and argument, in this case, makes arrogance blossom in our heart. And we know that This is one of the greatest sins in Islamic faith. So if we want to understand the meaning of arrogance in Islam, we can simply say that a proud person is the one who thinks himself to be the best and wants others to know that he is the best. I hope Allah protect us from this very great sin, and I wish you the best. Thank you for being with us. I wish you the best, and I hope me, myself, and you as well, my brothers and sisters, to make an excellent use of this great opportunity, this great month, the month of Ramadan. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Forgive me for everything I've done in the past, when everything was going so fast, and now I just can't go on.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir. Our email is english@irib.ir.
But I know that you are really loving, you are really caring. I can't realize, but you know that I will be better, that I will be stronger if you are by my side. Allah.
Aperture.
Being the second largest country in the Middle East, Iran is rich with a colorful bouquet of architectural masterpieces, magnificent mosques, ancient caravanserais, impressive rock tombs, and former royal cities of the ancient Persian Empire. But perhaps Iran's amazing desert landscape has been largely overlooked. Iran's deserts are unique in the variety of their composition and surface types. A yardang, or kalut as they're called in Farsi, is a topographical feature that has been carved out of a surface by the wind. They're most commonly found in deserts where there is a sand supply, which abrades the surface when moved by the wind, and soft sedimentary rocks that the sand easily erodes. Over time, the sand wears down the surface into beautiful streamlined shapes that are aligned with the prevailing sand-moving winds. Iran is famous for mega yardangs in Kerman in the south of the country. Stay with us for this episode of Iran Trotter as we follow Javad to discover the spectacular kaluts in Iran.
To most humans, nature means trees, jungles, rivers, and mountains. But is that all there is to this beautiful nature created by the architect of all beauties? God is limitless. He is infinite and has created nature with infinite beauties. Nature has many and varied, complicated aspects, and the natural world in Iran is no exception. Many people do not consider deserts and wastelands as part of nature. But the fact is, deserts constitute a large part of the environment on our planet. All we have to do is open our eyes and look at these countless, peerless beauties. I'm Javad Gharai. I'm an Iran trotter, and I'm traveling to the most pristine areas of my beloved country and uncovering to you its many beauties.
This time, I've come to a vast city in Kerman province, a city that in fact forms a major swath of the amazing landscape in Kerman. The fictitious city of Kelutz. I set out on a 110-kilometer walking journey to the northeast of Kerman province to arrive at my main destination. The Yardangs are located in an area spanning 11,000 square kilometers in the west of Iran's Lut Desert. The Yardangs of Lut cover an area around 150 kilometers long and around 70 kilometers wide. In the words of some researchers, this vast expanse used to be the bed of a lake sometime in the third geological period, and that in fact the Yardangs, or the Kaluts, are made up of brittle sediments lying at the bottom of that lake. At some point in the third geological period, the lake dried up as a result of the major climatic changes that occurred on Earth. Torrential rains and their ensuing humidity in the following periods and water erosion led to the creation of the Kaluts, or Yardangs. Other researchers believe the Yardangs are the result of the alluvial deposits originating from Birjan Mountains in the distant past. Sharp temperature fluctuations in the Lut and the constant blowing of local winds carrying abrasive sediment loads of sandstones battering these Yardangs over the years have led to their erosion. Winds that continue to lash out at these Yardangs and eventually raise beautiful clay terraces to the ground. Trips to the heart of deserts and wastelands have always been risky, but studying up on such places and the risks involved in traveling to them, not to mention carrying a proper map, a GPS device, and the topographic map of the area you are traveling to, can bring the number of risks involved down to a great extent. In all fairness, one of the most beautiful areas in the Lut Desert is the Shahdad Yardangs of Kerman. I mean, there are few places in the world with such beautiful desert landscape. I think nowhere in the world can you find a landscape as vast as this one. Here I am in the Lut Yardangs, hoping for a good trip, and I'm positive it's gonna be a thrill. I stepped onto a part of the river that not many people were interested in traveling to for several reasons. The flight distance between the Yardangs and the Yalan Megadunes in the west of Lut is around 150 kilometers. For several consecutive years, part of the Yalan Megadunes was announced by NASA as one of the hottest spots on Earth. This is an area where temperatures run above 70 degrees in the summer. With no trace of life among them, the Yardangs of Lut look scary to human eyes. Although in recent years, some researchers have discovered and registered a number of plants and insect species in them. But at first look, the fictional town of Kaluts or Yardangs bears no trace of life of any kind. Encountering sandstorms in the desert or getting lost in them, or all the other hidden dangers of such terrains, can put your life at grave risk. But none of those reasons stop me from walking right into the Yardangs. You can enjoy spending time in this beautiful natural landscape with enough information on its climate and terrain, and by using a map and GPS device. No one has found any trace of human habitation in the Kalutz area, not in the past and not in the present eras. But on the outskirts of these beautiful Kalutz, there are many remnants of human habitation from years gone by. The Kalutz are located on the outskirts of Shahdad, a city in Kerman that is among the most ancient in Iran, a place with a more than 6,000-year-old culture and history. The world's oldest metal flag was discovered here. The many qanats and water reservoirs on the outskirts of the Kalutz, as well as the lush gardens of Shahdad, are evidence of human settlement in the distant past. Right at the beginning of the route, I came across an area with a concentration of strange Kalut formations, a place famous for its egg-shaped hills. I have to walk a long distance to get to the heart of the Shahdad Kalutz, but the beautiful elevations you see behind me, which is sort of the prelude to the main Kalutz, are called the egg-shaped hills, and for good reason. They really do look like eggs, although these hills are considered as little Kalutz. The reason they have been abraded more than the other Kalutz in this region is rainfalls and, of course, the type of soil they are made from. And if it goes on like this, rainwater and wind are going to destroy them in the not-too-distant future. Every spot you go to in this region, you see new and different Kalutz or Yardangs. The majority of those who travel to the Kalutz are not aware of the diversity of the landscapes in this terrain and its natural phenomena. But the fact is, the Kalutz of Kerman are a peerless kaleidoscope of beautiful desert landscapes. Everywhere you look in this region, you see spectacular yet peculiar sights. Around 7 kilometers after the egg-shaped hills, I arrived at another strange yet interesting scenery. From a distance, I thought I was approaching some prehistoric cemetery. But well, this is not a cemetery. These mounds you see here are called the Dolphin Hills. In fact, they are very small Kalutz in the vicinity of the big ones. The dual action of wind abrasion and rainwater has chiseled them to look like dolphins swimming on a wave of dust and sand. Every part of the Kalutz in Shahdad has its own unique shape. And these Dolphin Hills are among those unique parts of the Shahdad Kalutz. These are really extraordinary, really beautiful. I've been walking around in the Shahdad Kalous for hours now, deep into the heart of these remarkable protuberances. Although it is fall now, and the best season to travel to the Lut Desert, and of course to the Shahdad Kalous, early spring is also a good time. Anyway, it's noontime and very hot. It was very cold in the morning, but now the temperature keeps going up, so I'm going to have to take a layer off. The temperature in the desert fluctuates sharply between the morning and the evening. It's always like that. So you have to remember to pack the right clothes for summer and winter weather. That's what it's like in the desert. You get summer and winter weather at the same time, happening within hours of each other on a single day. You should keep that in mind. It's really getting hot here. I just hope it'll stop right there as we approach noontime. Because, I mean, the sun, the heat from the sun can just be unbearable. Although I've already thought of something for a situation like this, one of the most important things we have to carry with us when traveling through deserts and wastelands are glasses, sunglasses that is. They're very important to protecting your eyes against the scorching sun. When the rays of the sun reach the dirt, they are reflected in your direction and bother your eyes. The air here is very clean. That's why there's so much light. So you have to wear sunglasses if you ever come to a place like this. If you don't, your vision is going to get hurt and you're going to get wrinkles around your eyes. And that's what the ladies are very sensitive about. Dazzling beauties of the Kalous redoubled my enthusiasm for traveling into the heart of these sand formations. But the deeper I walked into them, the more arduous things became. Walking on the sand in the punishing heat requires strenuous effort and drains your energy. The day started out cold, but the temperatures kept going up as I approached midday. The biting autumn cold was nowhere to be felt. Walking on the sand and grit really wears you out after a while. And it makes you sweat a lot, too. It's starting to get really hot. I'd better change into something more suitable. I'm wearing a thin layer, but the short sleeves expose my forearms to the sun, and that means sunburn. The sun is just bearing down on me. I feel like it's burning my face. I mean, I really had to change my clothes to avoid getting sunburn on my arms. The sun can get really annoying round about noontime out in the desert, even if it's not very hot. You're bound to get sunburned. So you must wear long-sleeved shirts with good breathability at the same time. I mean, that's what I always do. And I've never run into any problems because long sleeves have always protected my arms against the sun. Now, more important than wearing long-sleeved shirts out in the desert is to have proper headgear, such as this hat. What this hat does is it prevents the radiation from the sun from reaching your head to a great extent, and as a result, your face, neck, and ears won't get burnt. It really feels good when you wear one of these. And of course, a good pair of sunglasses is a must-have in a place like this. But there is another type of glasses, sunglasses, that I carry with me all the time. These are called storm goggles by some and skiing goggles by others. It's important to pack a pair of these goggles too, because when there is a sandstorm, when strong winds start blowing, they kick up a lot of sand and other particles into the air, and the goggles prevent them from going into your eyes. More important than that, you can see where you're going when you're out in the sticks without worrying about sand getting into your eyes. Man, I'm beat. It really wears you out when you walk on sand and up and down on those little hills. It's just fatiguing. I dare say, walking about in the Kalous area and the hot areas of Lut Desert in the summer is next to impossible. The temperatures are so high and the surface of the earth so hot, you won't last more than a few kilometers. That's a time when you cannot see any living creatures in the Lut Desert. You can only see them during the night. It's very important to carry enough water when you travel to a place like this. If you're going to spend 2, 3, or 4 days trekking in the desert, make sure you have enough water. That's because you sweat a lot and your body loses a lot of water. And obviously, when that happens, you become dehydrated. In addition to that, you have to eat food that contains salt. But if your food doesn't contain enough salt, you need to eat salty nuts. That's because your body loses a lot of sodium as you sweat in the heat, and that's going to harm your body. Okay, now let's eat an orange. The Kalutes expand intermittently from the west of the Lut Desert towards the southeast. The corridors formed among them look in the same direction as the Kalutes themselves, that is, in the direction of the local winds. They are all very brittle. The shape of each Kalut depends on how it was first formed, its density, and the direction of the winds that brush against it on their paths. Shifting winds and other erosive factors in the Kalut's basin has created a variety of them with different shapes and sizes. In some places, winds have filled the depression around the Kalut's with sand, and in other places, they have blown away the sand from around them. Now, let's take a look at the etymology of the word Kalut. Kalut is a blend of two words, Kal and Lut. Together, they mean the city of Lut. In the Khorasan region, in central Iran, and along the coast of the Caspian Sea, the word Kal has taken on different meanings. In Khorasan and Sistan and Baluchistan, it's the root of words such as kalate and kalat, meaning castle or citadel. It could also mean a hamlet or a village perched on an elevation. In the center of Iran, the word kalat means a walled-off village. The Kalutes are an imaginary city. From a distance, they look like the remains of a ruined city. Of course, there are a few other areas like this in some parts of the world, but the Kalutes of Iran cover the largest such area in the world. Without human interference and technology, Mother Nature has put on display her unique artistic talent and creativity. It was starting to get dark when, on a nature trip, it's important that the nature traveler find the right spot where they can pitch their tent before the dark sets in. That will ensure a good night's rest without any trouble. I'm going to call it a day now, and I think the best place for me to camp out is right here next to a lone Kalut surrounded by sand. The wind has created this hole here as if to prepare it for someone to set up their tent in. This is perfect because here I'll have my back to the wind, which usually blows from the heights of Sirj Mountains back there towards the Kalutes. I mean, that's why this hole has been created. This Kalut hasn't allowed sand to accumulate here, hence the evenly shaped depression around it. It's just a perfect place to camp out. We're spending the night here. It's a great spot, and hopefully we're going to have a star-studded sky above us. Okay, I've been told I wouldn't be able to find any firewood or shrubs or any living creatures because deep in the heart of the Kalutes, the winds are so strong, they won't allow any vegetation to grow on their path. In other words, if a plant grows here, it gets blown away by the wind. But there is an exception to that rule, and that is an area located on the path of floodwaters flowing down to the Kalutes area from the Ravar Mountains. The floods uproot the shrubs on the banks of the rivers nearby, the ones near the Kalutes, that is, and dump them in the seasonal river that's created near here and eventually brings them over to the Kalutes area. I might be able to find something there to make a fire here tonight to keep me and others warm. The temperatures in the Lut Desert fluctuate constantly, making life a bit difficult for nature travelers. Therefore, I always pack warm clothes and a good warm sleeping bag. Another beauty of the desert is its star-studded night sky. In the absence of light pollution, you get a clear view of the twinkling stars and part of the Milky Way. You can spend hours feasting your eyes on those beautiful celestial bodies that adorn the expansive firmament above. I'm glad I found these sticks. It gets really cold out here at night. I rarely make fire during my trips because I set a lot of store by nature and even dry sticks of wood. These sticks are a form of energy. They are no different than oil and gas, so we shouldn't use them recklessly. As I say, I don't make fire when I camp out unless I really have to. Most of the time, I don't need to. And when I do, I make a small one. But in the Lut Desert and in the Shahdad Desert, temperatures fluctuate a lot. I remember coming here 3 years ago. One night, winter was about to come to an end. I mean, like 2 or 3 days to the end of the season, 3 years ago. That night, right here in the Lut Desert, the temperature plunged to -1 degrees. Here's the thing. In the day, at midday I mean, I had traveled deeper into this area and experienced temperatures as high as 43 degrees. That's a huge difference in one single day. It was all very strange to me. But well, that's what deserts are like. It's typical of them. It can get really cold during the night, especially during fall and winter. Therefore, you have to have proper clothes to wear, and if you manage to find a few sticks, you can keep yourself warm and enjoy yourself sitting around a campfire.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد عودك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. Here we are with Brother Fawad Haider, Ali Nasir, and Hassan Nasrullah. Salamun alaikum and welcome.
Alaikum assalam.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine?
Great.
That's good. Fawad Haider, how are you doing?
Salam, sir. I'm fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm good. And Hassan Nasrullah?
Salam alaikum, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. How about you?
Fine, sir.
Good, good. So, Ali Nasir, Fawad, and Hassan, today, inshallah, we'll work on Ayah 37 of Surah Ali Imran. On page? Hassan, on page?
54.
So, brothers and sisters, please open your Quran if you have with you. Turn to page 54, Ayah 37. Yes?
Yes.
The last ayah on this page.
Yes.
Yeah? So, everybody, let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب.
Good job, nice recitation. I will read once. Make sure you carefully listen, okay? And repeat after me, all right? Brothers and sisters, we really recommend you to practice, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا
فتقبلها ربها بقبول حسن وأنبتها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا
كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا
كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا
قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله
قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله
إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب
إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب
Sent, mashallah, mashallah, Allah bless you, inshallah. In the previous two verses, we talked about the wife of Prophet Imran, who dedicated her baby, her child, to Allah Almighty. Yes, and like she said, قالت ربي إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني. Yes, in this ayah, Allah Almighty says, like she was a bit worried. Because she thought that the baby is going to be a boy, but it became a
daughter.
Daughter, a son, okay? A boy, a girl. So, she kind of, it seems like she was worried about this, that may, I do not achieve my goals, because she wanted her baby to serve in sanctuary. So, but Allah Almighty said, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ Allah Almighty accepted. Allah Almighty accepted, but how? بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ The best way, beautifully. Yes, Allah Almighty accepted. So, Allah Almighty says, فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا Thereupon, her Lord accepted her with a gracious acceptance. بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ Not your name, okay? It's your name, okay? Your name is beautiful. Hassan, okay? I think he is so happy today. His name is, he found his name in the Quran. Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
He is really happy for this. Okay, good job.
Yes, okay. So hard.
بِقَبُولٍ حَسَن With a gracious acceptance. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا And made her grow up in a worthy fashion, okay? وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا And what? And he charged Zakaria, Allah Almighty, gave the responsibility of Lady Mary, okay, to Prophet Zakaria. كلما دخل now Prophet Zakaria, whenever she was entering Lady Maryam, okay, what happened? Whenever Zakaria visited her in the Lady Maryam in the sanctuary, وجد عندها رزقا, he would find provisions with her رزقا. Okay, مائدة. مائدة means like in Persian we say sufra, yes. Table.
Yeah.
Like food, okay? And those food, fruits, different seasonal fruits, okay, from the heaven, he would find. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمْ He said, O Mary, O Lady Maryam, أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا From where does this come from? To you, for you. قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ She said, It comes from Allah Almighty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءَ Allah provides whomever He wishes without any reckoning. He gives anyone He wishes without like unlimited food, like a lot of blessings. He will bless us, okay?
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني
نبض حياتي How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, guys, I want you to refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah. Tafsir books, okay? For more explanations. We just mentioned the translation. And you now know Allah Almighty accepted the nadr, the dedication of the wife of Prophet Ibrahim, Imran, alayhi salam. So, we talked about how we should be thinking of our babies, our children, okay? For the future, inshallah. That we should think all about their what? Huh? Their future in the best way, that we should ask Allah Almighty to help us be good parents for them and ask, train them, okay, to serve Allah Almighty and the religion of Allah Almighty, and they should stay on the good path. Now we'll move on with the Tajweed rules. I really want you to refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah. The important Tajweed rules that we mention here, please note them in case you can. And inshallah practice them. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا The first thing to remember is the pronunciations of the letters. قَاف has a heavy sound. فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا رَا هَا حَا حَسَن أَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا عِنْدَهَا رِزْقَا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا ذل قالت هو من عند الله إن الله الله لام letter لام يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب غين okay these letters are important now the rest of the تجويد rules here فتقبلها ها has a light sound فتقبلها ربها Right? Both light sound. Ha, ha, a sound. Not o sound. Bi qabul, qa qabulin. Hasaniu, hasan. Has a tanween. Yes, hasan?
Yes.
Hasan has a tanween. Do you have a tanween?
No.
Okay, the word hasan here has a tanween. Plus wow, you should merge the sound. Hasaniu, wa kaffalaha, sorry. Wa anbataha, noon. Has a tanween, but after noon with tanween we have the letter ba. What do you do? Huh?
Iqlab.
Iqlab. Change the noon sound into a meme, hidden meme sound. Anbataha nabatan hasana. Nabatan tanween. Hasana starts with ha highs from the throat letters, and you don't need to do anything. Just read it normally. Nabatan hasanan. Hasanan. Tanween again, well, merge idgham. Yes, حسنو وكفلها زكريا. Fawad, you should really pay attention to the tashdeed. Sometimes you forget the tashdeed. Like in the previous ayah, you were saying سميتها سميتها زكريا, right? Fawad. Okay. Silence means yes. It's okay. So, كلما دخل خا خا has a heavy sound عليها زكريا المحراب Ra has a heavy sound. Wajada indaha, indaha. Hide the sound. Ikhfa. Rizqan. If you stop here.
Rizqa.
Rizqa. Tanween fatha changes to alif mad.
Yes.
Qala ya mar, mar, maryamu. Heavy sound. Anna. Nun mushaddad. Laki hadha. Yeah, if you stop here, hadha, stretch the sound a bit. Sila tells you it's better to continue. You continue. Qalat huwa min indillah. Min, in, min, nun, sakin, clearly pronounce it.
Idhar.
Min,
in,
this one, ikhfa. Idhar, then ikhfa.
Yeah.
Indillahi. You remember I told you, like, you produce a light sound with the letter lam if the if there is a kasra sound before. Indillah, not indillah. No, it's like Bismillah, a'udhu billah, fillah. Yeah. So here, and the next rule was if you have a fatha or a dhamma sound, you produce the lam sound. You sorry, you produce a heavy sound with the letter lam. Allah, wallahu, inna allaha, right? Like here we have, inna allaha yarzuqu man yasha,
idgham.
Merge the sound, idgham with ghunna, nasal sound.
Yes, with
yasha'u bi, the mad is wajib, right? Mad, harf yes. Al-mad. And hamza,
and the same word.
Yasha'u bi ghayri hisab.
Qalqala, qalqala, when you stop.
Hisab. That's all. Inshallah, I hope you have noted all the tajweed rules we mentioned here. Time and again, listen to the audio. Inshallah, you will be perfect in tajweed. Thank you so much, Fawad Hassan and Ali Nasser, for being with us in this session. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. We really recommend you stay with us in the coming sessions, inshallah. Every day, the same time, we'll be here at your service with Quranic sessions. So, thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International Schools Network for cooperations. We'll continue our class, inshallah, in the coming sessions with the rest of the ayat of Surah Ali Imran. And inshallah, we'll continue till the end of the Quran Kareem. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.